I was thinking a couple weeks ago about tonight and thinking about the Christmas season, and I began to think about the different people that were involved around the birth of Christ, and about the different responses that those people had to the message or the news that came that Christ was born. The title of the message tonight is Responses to the Good News. Responses to the Good News. I want to begin in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read just the first two verses to start out with. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight, and I pray that you would bless as we take a few moments to ponder the events that happened around your birth. Father, help us and give us the right heart toward you, toward your gospel, toward the good news of life that comes forward out of the book. We thank you for those things and ask you to bless tonight. In Christ's name, amen. I wanted to draw our attention tonight, first of all, to one of the first groups that we think of with Christmas, or the events of Christ's birth in the book of Matthew, and that is the wise men. We really don't know, as the pastor said this morning, how many wise men there were. A lot of people say there were three of them because there were three gifts, and you know, these little tiny camels. Like the pastor said, it was probably a large caravan, or we don't know how many people it was. The Lord and the Word just says there were wise men. There was a certain number that we don't know, and they had certain gifts, and they were coming from the east looking. They were following this star. We all know the story. You've heard it since we were very small. But I was doing some studying about these wise men, or magi. From the Greek there, the word is magi. And they were probably from somewhere in the east toward maybe Babylon or something like that. Some scholars have suggested because of other cultures out in the east, like the Arabian culture, some of those maybe wouldn't fit the cast of the wise men, but we don't know all the arguments of that. But they were from the east region somewhere over there near Babylon or something like that. And they apparently saw this something in the skies, a star. Maybe it was a special event that God put right in the heavens for them to see, and a miraculous star. And they perhaps maybe had some knowledge of a coming Messiah. Think about Jews that were around, or Persians or whoever that were around the Babylonian area. The Jews had been there for several years. They had, sung their songs maybe, or told stories of the Messiah, told about the prophecies, and some Jews carried the story with them when they went into captivity. And maybe some of them stayed after the captivity. And the story perhaps of the Messiah had gotten to some of the people in Babylon. And these men apparently knew that something unique was happening. And we're going to discuss why that is true in just a moment. But notice here in verse 2 that the star appeared to them and it guided them, brought them all the way down to the Messiah. And I wanted to notice in verse 2 the careful use of the word seen in the Greek. It says, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. There are three different words in the Greek for see. And this is a very specific word that the writer of the book of Matthew uses. To kind of get an idea of this, let's look in the book of John real quick. Turn over to the end of John, John chapter 20. This, of course, is the time when the disciples were running to the tomb, and they were looking and seeing, wow, what had happened. They had heard news that Jesus was gone, and they were looking into the tomb to find out what happened. Well, look in chapter 20 of the book of John in verse 5. It says, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. That is the word blepo in the Greek. It's the most basic word for sight. That means I just see something, okay, I saw it, and I move on. He just basically, with physical sight, saw those linen clothes. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. That's a different word in the Greek. That is the word theore, which means that he not only saw with physical sight, but he began to think and reason in his mind, what is this thing that I've seen? It's a little bit deeper word for sight. He's beginning to think about it and ponder it. Then, down into verse 8, then went in also that other disciple, a lot of people believe that is probably John, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. That's the word Aiden in the Greek, E-I-D-E-N. That means to see with insight, to see into a situation and see all the way through it to where you understand completely what just happened. You could see something that happens maybe in the students at school and just, okay, that happened, no big deal. Or you could see something that happened and understand, you know, there's something going on in that student's life there. Or there's something going on in that person's life. To see with insight. That is the word back in Matthew chapter 2 in verse 2, they have seen his star. That is the word Aiden in the Greek, which means that they had insight into that. This just wasn't some random star in the sky. This wasn't just some random phenomenon, perhaps, that happened. They saw through this star and realized that this perhaps has something to do with the coming of a king, a coming of a Messiah. They saw with insight, and they came to worship the king. They knew that this was a very important, significant thing. This implies perhaps that maybe many people saw that star, but only a few had insight into what it meant. You know, a lot of people can see things, but God can give unique insight or understanding so that some can understand what that means and have insight into it. And it seems that that's perhaps what God did with these wise men. You know, there could have been thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that saw some bright thing in the sky, but these wise men had Aiden sight, not blepo, not basic physical sight, but they saw through that star to understand there's something going on here. We're going to follow this star. And they began to follow this, and they believed that this was important. They had insight into what it meant. Maybe, as I said, they had heard of the coming of a Messiah. Maybe they had gotten a hold of some Jewish manuscripts, some prophecies or something, and maybe they were waiting and anticipating the birth just like the Jews were. They saw with insight, and they came to worship him. The wise men, first group tonight, the wise men saw. The wise men saw with insight into the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look down into another verse. Let's look down to verse 11. Look in verse 11. When these wise men reached the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. Again, that word saw there is Aiden, and fell down and worshiped him. The worship here is proscurio, which means it's an Eastern term that means the custom of bowing down and perhaps putting the forehead on the ground and worshiping and giving adoration to this babe that was lying there in the stable, falling on the knees out of deep reverence and giving respect and homage to this king. In other words, the wise men saw through the star, they had insight, and it resulted, the end result was them worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Submission and worship to the Son of God. You know, many people today in our world perhaps have a general sight about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people see Christ with blepo. Well, I've heard about Jesus, you know. We go to church every now and then, and they talk about Jesus, and Jesus is on the TV, and everybody talks about Jesus, and they have a basic blepo sight about Jesus. He's just something up there somewhere, and we just talk about him because it's nice, and we're down in the Bible Belt in the South, so everybody loves Jesus, and everybody talks about Jesus. But there are few people that have insight to go into the Word of God, to go in to see what is Jesus. Let's not just look with a basic physical sight. Let's dig down there and have insight into what the situation is. What is this? The sight without insight is kind of like having a blindness. I believe Jesus, yeah, he exists, and then go around and never do anything about it or never believe in your heart. Let that sight lead to belief. That's the same thing as having just plain blindness. The wise men here, they saw past themselves, they saw past the situations, and they resulted in worshiping. I tell you, there are a lot of people that when they see Jesus or think about Jesus or hear about Jesus, they can't see past the human ideas of Jesus. Our world has cluttered our minds with Jesus means this, and God is really this, and the Bible is just a book of myths, and it really means this. And we get so caught up in human ideas that we see those and we don't have insight into who Jesus Christ really is, the incarnated Son of God that's come to pay the price for our sin. Notice a couple things here with the wise men, quickly, of what this sight did for them. In verse number 2, we have seen his star and are come to worship. Insight into who Jesus is leads to worship, submission, and adoration. A lot of people don't submit to Christ because they don't understand fully, have full sight into who is Christ. As I said, he's the one that came to pay the price of our sins. And when we fully comprehend that, when we have insight into that situation or that fact, then we realize, I've got to worship. I've got to bow down because I am unworthy. I am nothing. And Christ has done all for me. In verse number 10, again, the word is used. When they saw the star, what did they do? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I tell you, when we have insight into what the Lord Jesus is and what he's done for us, our hearts should rejoice and be full of praise and thanksgiving because God has done it all for us. We weren't the ones that could procure our own salvation. There was nothing in us that God would look down and say, you know, I'm going to give salvation to that man because he seems to be a pretty good guy. There was nothing that God saw. It was his pure mercy. And when we have insight into what God's done, it should cause great rejoicing and joy in our hearts because we found the Lord Jesus Christ and we understand him. Then in verse number 11, when they saw Christ, Aiden, They had insight into the fact that this is the Lord. How do we know that they knew it was the Lord? They gave their gifts to Him. It says in verse 11, they gave the treasures, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. They acknowledged that this is the child. This is the King, the real King that we need to honor and bring gifts to. And that insight brought them into those things. One more point about that sight that they had in verse 12. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. A pastor talked about that this morning. Their insight that they had from the Lord made them sensitive to God's voice and made them obedient to what God told them to do. When God said, hey, go a different way, they went a different way. One way to understand or see through if people really understand who Christ is and really believe who He is and have insight into Christ is, do they obey Him? Do they follow Him? Do they listen when He's calling and telling them which direction to take in their life? If we are submitting and we obey and we follow the Lord, then that means we are seeing with insight into the Word of God. And God's given us this book today as Christians. You know, the wise men perhaps didn't have the entire Bible. They didn't have the New Testament and all the Old Testament and everything like we have. But we have this great book, and God's Holy Spirit can guide us and illuminate us as we read the book and give us insight. You know, we can see the literal words on the page and just read like we're reading a book and then go away and forget it. But we need the Holy Spirit to give us insight into what Christ really is. So the wise men tonight, the first group, they saw with insight into who the Lord Jesus Christ really was. Let's look at a second group. I know it's going to seem like a person, but it was actually a group in verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. That's a pretty big group. Herod and all of Jerusalem. Herod the Great, the wise men saw, Herod was stirred. The word there in the Greek, troubled, means stirred to confusion. Troubled inwardly, shaken, upset, not understanding the situation. Herod quickly inquired, went to the rabbis and inquired of them to find out, who is this child and is there any indication in the Scriptures of where this child would be born? He wanted to find this king that could potentially threaten his position of power. Herod was afraid that, hey, there's this king coming. Well, he's going to start an uprising, and he's going to get everybody on his side, and he's going to threaten who I am, and he's going to take my power away from me, and I'll have to lose what I like doing. Christ was a threat to who he was. There are a lot of people that view Christ as that today in this world. Well, if I give up everything to Christ, then I just won't be able to be the same. Amen. I'm glad we won't be able to be the same. The Lord needs to change us and change our hearts. The city also here in verse number 3 was troubled. Why would the city be troubled? If Herod was troubled and thought that perhaps the city was going to uprise against him and rebel, then he's going to go to all extents to squash any rebellion he thought would happen. And so the people were confused, and they were stirred, and they were upset because Herod was upset, and he might react in a bloody fashion against them and try to quench any uprising. So you have all this confusion and troubling. What a contrast at the birth of Christ that sets the tone here. And it's kind of like an omen of Christ's entire ministry. The Gentile Magi sought and found. And here you have Herod in Jerusalem with Jerusalem, and they're in a state of confusion. They didn't want anything much to do with this king. You know, these rabbis and wise men that Herod inquired of, they knew all the Scriptures of the Old Testament. They knew everything about it, but they missed the full meaning that this is actually the Messiah coming. And here, everybody's upset in Jerusalem. The Jews are confused, but the Gentile Magi are finding Christ. And you find out as Christ's ministry progresses, the Jews do what? They reject. They reject. They reject, and they crucify Him. And where does God turn to in the book of Acts? He turns to the Gentiles. It's kind of an early indicator of how the gospel is going to go. Now, Herod, of course, slew all the male children in verse 16. He was angered at the thought of any threat to himself. You know, there are many people that are stirred to confusion, and they're angered at the thought of somebody else reigning in their lives and heart. You know, Christ wants to set up, He wants to come into our lives and set up a throne in our hearts. He wants to have the rule in our hearts. And when Christ wants to come in, I don't want to give up on myself. I like who I am. I like me. I like me reigning in here. But Christ wants to be on the throne in our hearts. And a lot of people are confused. And I'm not going to give up myself. I'm not going to give up my position for Christ. I'm not going to give up who I am. We think we have such a handle on life. We think we've got it under control, and we're going to be okay, and I've got it, Lord. I don't need you in my life. I don't need you as a king, and this is the way Herod was. I don't need any other king in here. I've got it in control. I've got the power here and my position and myself, and I don't want anything to interfere with that or nothing to threaten who I am. You know, there are a lot of people that have to have the control so much that they push Christ out the door. You know, I've got this, God. Don't worry about it. And Christ, we just shove him to the back, and we don't want nothing to do with him. And he wants to set up reign and rule in our hearts. We must submit to the king tonight, even if it means disregard for what I am. Even if it means me humbling myself or, you know, stopping those things that I really like to do, those pet little things in my heart that the flesh just loves to have satisfied. And we have to put those things down and submit to the king. Herod heard about Christ. He knew he was the king. He knew it. But he rejected him and sought to remove him. Let's move on quickly tonight and look at our third group. First, we had the wise men that saw. We had Herod the Great that was stirred to confusion. And then over in Luke chapter 2, which our brother read tonight, Luke chapter 2, and we'll conclude quickly with this point. Luke chapter 2, let's talk really quick about the shepherds. The wise men saw, Herod was stirred, but the shepherds sought. The shepherds sought in chapter 2. Look in verse number 8. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel, of course, appeared unto them. Then look into verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Now, these shepherds were out watching their flocks. Why do you think a shepherd would be out at night watching his flock? You know, think about what was going on at this time. The whole world was being taxed, and there was a lot of people traveling through the country, going back and forth to their cities and trying to get back to register and pay their taxes and all those things. And so there was a lot of people out and about, and these shepherds didn't want anybody running off with their sheep, or much less a wolf coming along, you know, and attacking their sheep and things like that. So there was a lot of travelers, and they wanted to stay out and guard their flocks. Well, suddenly the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were told this good news. And notice what they did in verse 15 and 16. How did they respond to the good news that the Lord gave them? First, they heard about the babe, and what did they do? They began to search for him. They began to inquire and think, how can I find out more about God? You know, it reminds me so much of people today when they hear about the Word, or maybe nature. We talked about natural revelation before, and you can understand God through nature, and then you want to know more about him. Where do you go? To his Word. And you learn more and more about the Lord. And you can learn about how he's your Savior and all those things that he's done for us. And these shepherds, they weren't content to just hear the news and kind of go back to business. They wanted that news to change their lives. They wanted to find this babe. They searched for the babe with haste in verse 16. They came with haste. In other words, they didn't postpone it. Boy, how many people do you hear that keep postponing? Well, you can talk to him about the Lord some other time. I've got time to get right with the Lord. And you know, you sometimes you go to people and keep continuing to talk with them about the Lord. Maybe some of you have instances with that in your lives or ministries where you keep going back to the same person and praying for them and witnessing to them and asking them to get right with the Lord. And, well, you know, I just put it off. It's so easy, especially for young people. They love to put those things off. Well, these shepherds, they sought with haste. They knew we cannot delay this matter of finding this babe. They heard the good news, and they acted quickly to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, many hear, as I said today, many hear, but they don't act. These shepherds did not stop until they found Christ. You know, we should have that same heart in our lives. I tell you, these common men out in the field, just common men, received a revelation from the Lord. It is kind of an indicator in the early part of Christ that this Savior is for all men. He's for the wise men that were out there. He's for the common men that was out watching the sheep. This is the Savior of all men. The rabbis back in Matthew chapter 2, you know, they heard the report of the wise men. They heard the questions of Herod. They investigated in the Scripture, but did they respond like the lowly country shepherds did? They just went along with Herod and rejected Christ. But you have these men out in the fields, common men. They hear the news, and they go eagerly to hear and act. How do we respond tonight to the news of the Savior? Do we see with insight into God's Word, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts? Are we stirred maybe to confusion and anger when the Word of God speaks to our heart? When we hear the news of the message of Christ and how what He wants to do in our hearts as Christians, are we stirred to anger and confusion? Or do we run immediately to Christ with haste, knowing we cannot delay these things? different responses tonight that these men, these different groups had to the Lord Jesus Christ and the news of His coming. And I pray that we will have the right response in our hearts tonight toward the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the testimony of Scripture. We thank You, Lord, for these three groups that we can read about, these wise men that saw with insight. And then, Lord, we had Herod stirred to confusion, and the shepherds, the lowly common shepherds out in the field who searched diligently and found the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for the testimony of Your Word. Help us to have the right hearts when we hear the Word of God. Help us to have the right heart when we hear the good news and turn and run immediately to You, Father, and beg You to forgive us of our ways and our sins and iniquities. Lord, we thank You that You're a merciful God and You hear our prayers. Pray that You'd bless the furtherance of this evening as we continue to sing and the fellowship time afterwards. Lord, bless all in Christ's name. Amen.